season of Advent. I'm not really sure why. Maybe some of my earliest memories of celebrating the liturgical season was growing up and knowing that the Advent wreath was an important part of our family life. Placed on the center of the dining room table, there were some prayers that we said that were specific to Advent. We took turns lighting the candle and seeing each week another candle being added to it. There was something very powerful about that that impressed upon my Catholic imagination from an early age, that there's something unique and special about this season of Advent. Or it could be that my brothers and I were given permission to play with matches and light the candle. Not sure which one. But there is something incredibly important about this season of Advent. And today, the first Sunday of Advent, we celebrate, in a sense, Catholic New Year's. We're beginning new. This is the first Sunday of the new liturgical year. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on where we're at now and hopefully further along in our spiritual life than we were last year this time. The Advent wreath features large in these weeks, both here at church and in the homes of the faithful. Several years ago, somebody asked me about the history of the Advent wreath, and I realized that I didn't know where it came from, so I started to do a little research about the Advent wreath. Its exact origins are lost to history, but most who have researched it tend to point to one tradition that seems to be the logical origin of the Advent wreath. It started in Northern Europe. And at that time, there was a practical thing that many families in Northern Europe would do around this time of year. Their horse-drawn wagons had to be changed out for the winter. The wheels were taken off and snow sleds were put on. But the wheels had to go somewhere. And prior to mass manufacturing, the wheels were expensive and needed to be cared for so they didn't warp or go out of shape. And so families would take the wheels and they would bring them into their homes to protect them from the winter weather. Homes, of course, not being very large, meant that these wheels had to go somewhere out of the way. And so it was customary that the wagon wheels were hung from the ceiling. But at the same time, the daylight hours were becoming shorter. Nightfall was beginning earlier and earlier. People needed more light in their home. So it was customary that from these wagon wheels, which hung from the ceilings, candles would be placed to lit the home. A very practical origin, but many people believe that this is the practical thing that eventually gave rise to the Advent wreath. And there's incredible symbolism in the Advent wreath, and I'd like to look at three parts of that symbolism. The first is the circular wheel hanging from the ceiling. As that wheel hung from the ceiling, created a sort of portal, a window, symbolically towards heaven. And the symbolism of that opening towards heaven points to the fundamental celebration of Christmas. That what we're celebrating in Christmas is what we call the first coming of Christ. Jesus' incarnation and birth into the world. That he, pre-existing from all eternity, came from heaven to earth. Through a sort of window from the heavens. And so this opening, this circular opening on the ceiling, was symbolic of that, reminding the people in these early days of the beginning of the Advent wreath, the first coming of Christ. But of course, we also know that they placed candles on the wagon wheels to light their home. And we can imagine at some point the candles, without having number or distinction, perhaps began to change over the wheel that hung from the ceiling in the central location of the family's gathering space, kitchen or dining room. And then each candle being added week after week, showing forth more light as Christ is the light of the world. Each of these candles representing an additional week as we prepare shows a richer and more powerful light, the light of Christ. Now this isn't just simply symbolism on its own, but pointing to something more. pointing to what we call the second coming of Christ, the coming of Christ at the end of time, when Christ's light fully breaks into the world, when the world is remade into the new and heavenly Jerusalem. The continual adding of light to the Advent wreath points to the future, that what we experience now in partiality will be brought to fulfillment at the end of time when Christ comes again. I'm sure that there were many Northern European women who were not content to leave well enough alone, but if this wagon wheel was going to hang over their dining room table, for such a festive occasion, it had to be decorated. And the Northern Europeans turned to the decorations that they had most at hand, cuts of evergreen. So it became customary that what we now know as the Advent wreath is also decorated in evergreens. Now, their climate and topography, not all that unlike ours, shows that the evergreen has a deep symbolism. I'm sure that many of us, as we have looked at what appears to be the death of winter, see the evergreen trees still showing forth their color. And few things are as beautiful as waking up and seeing the fresh snowfall landing on the evergreen branches of the trees outside. It's because of this in Northern Europe and our own culture by extension, having settled this area by many Germans and other Northern Europeans, evergreens symbolize eternal life. Now, this is not a mere decoration, just something that happens to be at hand, but symbolizes something else. The evergreen color symbolizes eternal life. And this, I think, points to the third symbolism of the Advent wreath, and perhaps for our purposes for the season of Advent, the most important. We typically refer to Christ's incarnation as the first coming, and his coming at the end of time as his second coming. But the church fathers would not have used that phrase. They would have referred to his birth, his incarnation and birth as his first coming, but they would have referred to Christ's coming at the end of time as his third coming. Instead, the second coming for the church fathers refers to the coming of Christ into each of our own lives. That Christ is made incarnate again through the work of grace in our souls. That when we are in a state of grace, we are already living eternal life here in this world. The evergreen wreath symbolizes in its both circular shape as well as its greenness the eternal life, the second coming of Christ into our lives, is already happening. This symbolism, I think, is incredibly important to reset our mind on the purpose of Advent. There is no season in the liturgical year that is more countercultural than the church's liturgical season of Advent. We in our modern culture seem to breathlessly rush forward into the next celebration. It seems as though we barely have one holiday finished before we start focusing on the next. And there seems to be little time to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to prepare. Even last night, driving back from St. Charles, I began to notice once again how many homes are decorated with festive colors for Christmas. And as beautiful as it is, and how it can draw us into the season, there is a sort of jarring starkness between the festive decorations outside people's homes and the starkness inside church. We pause and we hold off on decorating the church for Christmas. We don't do that until we get to the feast day, but instead there's a sort of plainness in the church, not of the same starkness of Lent, but still close. And that should remind us that the starkness that our hearts would have if it were not for Christ. Yes, all of the festiveness on the outside, but drawing our attention to what is the state of our soul. Are we prepared to celebrate once again the coming of Christ into the world? In order to celebrate it well, do we recognize the second coming of Christ into our own life with an anticipation of the third coming of Christ at the end of time? Several years ago, probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I preached a homily that had the most negative feedback of any homily I'd ever preached. Now, I assumed that if I was ever going to get pushback on a homily, it would be talking about the church's teaching on artificial birth control. However, even that was less controversial than the time that I had merely suggested that perhaps, maybe, people just might want to consider not putting up their Christmas decorations until closer to Christmas. It was even a suggestion. Nevertheless, I'm not going to suggest that you hold off, but perhaps maybe as we put up our Christmas decorations and we begin to celebrate this wondrous time of Christmas, perhaps even a little bit too early, our Advent wreaths in our own homes should actually have pride of place for a few weeks. You see, each year as the liturgical season comes around, one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves, are we more prepared for this celebration than last year? Has Christ become more incarnate in our own life this year than last year's Advent? When Christmas comes in a few short weeks, are we more prepared to celebrate the birth of the Christ child this year than we were last year? The church stands in a countercultural position today on the first Sunday of Advent, saying, no, not yet. Hold on. We can't rush breathlessly into the next celebration. We have to pause, prepare our hearts. The readings for Mass this weekend and in the coming weeks are going to remind us again and again, prepare, stay awake, be ready, anticipate what's going to happen. Do not let these days of Advent pass without preparing your heart to celebrate the birth of the Christ child again. And by God's grace, may each one of us experience these days of Advent and soon the days of the Christmas season in a richer and deeper way than we had even prayerfully participated in last year. Let these be the days to prepare for Christ.